have a sheet there. That's where we're going to be looking at the Proverbs that are listed there on that sheet that I handed out. And certainly you saw a lot of verses related to relationships and friendships and skill with that in Proverbs 27. But of course, as we've seen in Proverbs, these verses on a particular theme are scattered throughout the book of Proverbs and the book of wisdom. One of the major themes in Proverbs, of course, is our relationships in different areas, but where the Proverbs seem to really hone in on heavily is developing into a godly, wise person that has skill to deal in relationships. And the person that the Proverb really seems to describe as an expert, if you will, in relationships is called, quite frankly, the friend. Being a godly friend. Proverbs talk a lot about relationships and especially friendships. And since wisdom involves having God's perspective on life, right? As we walk in the fear of the Lord and we grow in humility, we see His way, we have insight, we have discretion and wisdom how to deal with life and navigate it and walk in His will. We have to realize one of the things the Proverbs emphasizes is that we're not going to be able to do that on our own. We talked about that a little bit today in the morning sermon, didn't we? We're brought together with a group of people called Christians, called the church. And we're not going to grow in wisdom in isolation. We need others in Jesus Christ, don't we? We grow together in wisdom as we have strong relationships within the church body and strong Christian friendships. Somebody said, biologically, you don't need friends. Financially, you might make it without it. But we know as Christians how important it is that we have strong relationships and wise relationships. Sometimes we're so busy that we can let this go down to the bottom of the priority list, can't we? But we're not going to grow in wisdom without it. Without godly friendships, we will not see life more and more from God's perspective as we should. And when it comes to using wisdom in the right way, at the right time, as we've talked a lot about in Proverbs with our words, we're not going to be able to do that without strong godly friendships, people that influence us and help push us in the right direction and help us to stay walking in wisdom in the right direction. That only happens as we grow together in wisdom, understanding what godly friendships is all about. Proverbs 17:17, I love this one. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, we kind of tend to think of a friend sometimes that the proverb talks about as kind of like a friendly person. You know, that guy or gal that you knew in school or maybe in church or work now, you know, and everybody likes them. They're just lovable and likable by everybody, and they've got all these quote-unquote friends, you know. That's not totally a bad thing. They've got great social skills. They're able to relate to everyone, you know. But the Proverbs actually teach us of a different type of friendship and being a different type of friend. It tells us of the real problem, warns us, is that that type of person who's got all of these acquaintances or quote-unquote friendships maybe really doesn't have the depth of friendship that he needs in a few friends along the way that he's really invested in. He's spread so thin in his relationships that he or she is not investing in the real godly ones that God says are the most important. See, coming to Jesus Christ, of course, is the essential decision we make as we're born again and we believe in Him. And He's our ultimate friend, and we'll talk about that later. But we need to understand, we need that commitment in the local church body to grow together. As we worship God together, but as we grow together in love and the Christian life, because it's not easy, we need one another, of course, to do it. And the point of the proverb there, 17:17, and other ones, is that you can have so many outer level, if you will, friends or acquaintances, that a person doesn't have the time or desire or need to develop even just a few very strong godly relationships with Christians. Those that are wise, that'll really impact their life and that they can pour into and they can impact their lives, and you don't have the strength of those, and then when the hard times come, you're not able to stand up in it. That person is in trouble. Now, we would like to have greater relationships and strong ones with every Christian that we meet, or more than we do, but the reality is we only have so many hours in the day. We're not going to be able to have these type of friendships with every Christian that we know. But there's some that we ought to invest in doing it. If you see their strong relationships, a strong marriage, a strong Christian friendship in the church, that's taken investment. That took time and energy invested in that relationship. And the wisdom of Proverbs and Solomon, what he's saying and God's saying, seems to be all human relationships are going to disappoint us in some way. But it's more likely when you've got companions or acquaintances or people that really aren't growing in their faith the way they need to, they'll tend to let us down at times versus the ones that if we've invested in a few strong relationships and really grown in those, then those people will more than likely be there for us a lot of times and be a strength to us and help to us when we need it. What are the results of having many companions but not deep Christian relationships and friendships? Well, you're not going to grow as much as you probably would in your faith and wisdom and in Christ. You're going to sense this missing joy that ought to be there in a true relationship that comes in those type of relationships. Number three, no one that you'll really be able to hold on to or trust in and help you in times of guidance. So when you need times of guidance. So we've got to have those friends, and they need to be those type of friends to us that we pour out our energy into, that we're willing to call them, talk to them. And you want to have the right type of godly friend as well that you're going to invest in that will influence your life. But you're willing to sacrifice and become, as Christ works through you and I, that type of Christian friend. The proverb seems to tell us that we need to focus on the quality of godly friendships, not as much on the quantity or the number of them that we have. We will have a lot of acquaintances. Certainly we are Christians and we're friends and brothers and sisters in Christ with a lot of people, but Proverbs seem to give us the wisdom to focus on quality, not quantity. Focus on the quality of the loyalty of our friends and our loyalty to them, not so much on the quantity of our friends. Somebody said, remember, you don't need a certain number of friends, just a number of friends you can be certain of. And that's important, isn't it? Somebody said, put it this way, 4 quarters is always better than 100 pennies. And you've got those solid friendships. Remember, that's essential. Remember, Jesus did this too. Of course he loved everyone when he walked this earth. He ministered to all types of people, hundreds and hundreds. But he invested, didn't he, in 12. And God used these men to change the world. So we should never overlook the power of the gospel working in a few godly friendships that are Christian. Quality is key, not quantity. And when Christ is at work in those relationships, watch out for what God will do. We're called to love all types of people in and out of the church. We ought to reach out and want to make new friends for Christ, reaching people that are lost with the gospel, but our top priority ought to be in the quality of our friendships, the proverb says, where we're impacting them and they're impacting us in a godly way, in a wise way. And there are different levels of friendship, no doubt. They all have their place, but we've got to go deeper in the right relationships with some key Christian people. See, oftentimes the reason people don't have these type of friendships, I believe, is because it does take sacrifice. It takes energy. It demands things in their lifestyle. But we've got to remember at the heart of the Christian life is Jesus, who is the ultimate friend. At the heart of it is expressing real love in real ways to people that God puts in our lives. And you know, this is really important for all of us, but I think especially sometimes for men. Not to generalize things, but it's easy sometimes for us men to maybe look at it as where we're doing the thing we need to do. We're serving. We're doing well in our job. We're succeeding. But there can come a place sometimes in Christian men's lives where they realize, well, where are the real friends that I've got? Who can I really call on? Who do I know? Who knows me? We need that. Men do just as much as women. We need to understand that God's made us to have relationship, and we need godly, wise friendships and relationships. We need to have skill in that, all of us. Because the church is built on individual strong relationships, then those relationships together. And that takes time, investment, sacrifice. Proverbs 27:10 says, don't forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than the brother far away. See, the obvious point of a proverb like that is that these type of friends, they're rare. They're rare. And that's why we got to look for them. Pray God will make us that kind of friend more and more. And then when we find those friends, we don't want to let them go, do we? We want that to be that type of friend. And we only become that type of friend how? As Christ changes us. As Jesus lives through us. It's only through the power of God's love and the gospel transforming us as we walk with Christ that we become that type of a friend. And those type of Christian friendships are what make the biggest impact in our own spiritual growth, our maturity, our ability to help others in the church, our ability then to reach out and increase the circle of our friendships and reach out to people and make new friends and impact their life in the right way. It's sort of like concentric circles. At the center is our relationship with Jesus. The next part of the circle are those really close friendships that we impact and they impact us. And then outside the next level of circles are other Christians we know that maybe we can make an impact. And then out beyond that are, of course, people that don't know Jesus. But we want to make sure we're clear on what we are in Christ and growing in maturity in Him and then focusing on those core relationships that really make an impact and we make an impact on them and then branch out. So what is that all about? What is that all about? Some three key points I want to hone in on in application of this today. Proverbs 18:24 says this: a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there's a friend who sticks closer than the brother. So three key areas I want us to talk about. Number one, be committed to grow. We want to talk about being committed to grow in Christ, being committed to show Christ-like love and friendships, be a strong friend. And number three, committed to know more and more Jesus Christ, our ultimate friend. And we're going to look at Proverbs in relationship to those areas. But number one, committed to grow, being growing in Christ, growing in the qualities of being a strong friend. I love the story of this man. He was crossing this frozen over river, it said, one winter's day, and he didn't know how thick the ice really was. And so he was crawling along on all fours, the story said, gingerly feeling his way forward when he heard this racket and clatter coming closer and closer to him, behind him. And he looked back, and here came this wagon pulled by four horses, and the driver was whipping these horses along right across that frozen river. And the man's like, what in the world? How is this guy doing this? I'm worried about what could give, you know, how things could fall in. But the story said at that point, the man, once he saw these horses going across, driven by this man leading him, that he knew he could walk across the ice himself. The point was that guy with the horses knew. He was local. He knew how thick the ice was. And there's a lot of Christians, the point is, that are going along in this world by themselves, down on their fours, creeping along. They're not growing. And the thing that will boost their confidence and wisdom is godly friendships. Proverbs 13:20, it says, he who walks with wise people will himself be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So yes, the spiritual disciplines are essential in us growing in wisdom and getting in God's word and coming to church and worshiping and prayer. But we can't overlook the power of fellowship, relationships, how they impact us, how the time that we spend with other Christians can affect the direction of our lives. And we, if we're growing in godliness, we can impact the direction of Christians we're around and that we speak into their lives and we teach them. And this happens as we walk with the truly wise, that proverb says. As we do that, we grow wiser. If we're walking with the wise, if we're going along, and that's where the focus of our Christian relationships are, with godly, wise people, we're going to grow wise. It's going to rub off on us. Like the old saying, the truth sometimes is more caught than it is taught. And that's certainly taught, but we can't overlook how it spreads, how it's contagious, and relationships make an impact. To grow wiser, we got to ask God to make us godly and wise, but to find godly believers, if it's only a few, that we befriend, that we learn from, that we grow with, and they boost our confidence in God. They help us to see how God is leading us and where He's taking us. They help us to grow wiser when we have those type of relationships. When we spend time with the wise, we grow wiser. If our time and how we lay out our time and what we do and who we spend time with, if our time is spent a lot with people that aren't wise, that aren't believers at all, now we got to have time with non-believers. We want to reach them for Christ. I do that myself. I want God to help me to do that. But we've got to be careful that we're spending time with the godly, that we've got strong relationships, and that we're impacting others as we reach out to Christians and we're helping them. Because on the positive side, when you've got godly friends, you spend time with them, their values, Christ-like life, and what is important, it influences you. And you do that with others. You have relationships with non-believers, yes, but you want to make sure you're developing those godly relationships as the priority so that you'll be able to then get around those non-Christians and not be pulled away. You've got a cure to take to them, but you don't want to catch the disease of sin and their sickness. You don't want to be impacted by that. You want to influence them. And it's those godly relationships, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, good company, or it says bad company, corrupts good character. But on the opposite of that, godly character can affect us in a positive way. It builds strong character. So here's some keys in close relationships as we develop new friendships, especially. Number one, you want to be helped by those you get close to. You don't want to be harmed by it, do you? You want to be helped. Make sure they're going to impact you and influence you in a godly way. Number two, you want to help those that you're getting close to. You don't want to let the demands of the friendship lead you away from Christ in any way. And you want to make sure you're helping that person that you're reaching out to that's a Christian to go in the right way. As you walk with the wise, you grow wiser. The goal is to be influenced in the right way and be a godly influence. And so we've got to think through the purposes that God gives us in friendship. Our focus has to be on God using godly people to impact us so that we'll then be able to get around others and impact them as Christ works through us with wisdom. C.S. Lewis called friendship a school of virtue or a school of vice. He said, friendship makes good men better or bad men worse. And there's some truth in that. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, we'd agree, wouldn't you, that when there's inconsistency in people we get around that are so-called friends, every step in life can feel like a toothache, you know. It's just nagging. We feel the pain of it. That's what that proverb is getting at. When there's confidence in an unfaithful man and trouble comes, there just seems there's no way out of it. But God is very clear that to be a godly friend, you want to become somebody that they can count on, that when the times of trouble are there, Christ is working in you and there's a faithfulness there. Because friendship is like a lifetime walk that you and some close godly friends are going on. And as those relationships develop, it makes a difference in your life and in their lives and those that are around you. So we have to ask ourselves, how is the gospel of Christ and growing in godly wisdom, how's that affecting me to grow in grace and wisdom, to be an effective friend? Am I growing in that way to where I can do that? Am I committed to growing in wisdom, to be a godly friend? Proverbs 25:17 says, I love this one, seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Ben Franklin was once known to say, I believe it was him, fish and visitors both stink in 3 days. It's kind of like that guy that Proverbs getting at. I think the guy who, you know, goes out on a date, and then by the evening he's telling somebody the girl that he loves her, you know, and then he's saying, okay, you know, we're going to get married. It's just, whoa, wait a second. Ray Ortland said, in heaven, there will be a gazillion people, Christians. Everyone will be like you in that sense in Christ. You'll never get tired of them. They won't get tired of you. But wisdom says we have to live in the reality of things now in this world. And we ought to be wise enough to realize when enough is enough. Now, that proverb says that as a friendship is developing, it's not always the quantity of time that you spend with that friend that's going to be at the heart of it growing. It's often the quality of help as Christ works through you to impact them in a helpful way. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, when we get so caught up in, you know, too much too soon, you know, are we just trying to get something out of them rather than resting in Christ and giving love to them at the right time? Remember we said it's the quality of friendships, not the quantity, that matters. A few strong relationships is better than a bunch of acquaintances. Well, this says it's the quality of help as Christ works through you that really matters more than the quantity of time you spend with them. It's the quality of help as you listen, as you seek to be a blessing to them, as you try to meet their needs, as you try to understand them. Growing in strong friendships, in other words, depends on Christ working through us and us wanting to be the right kind of friend, a Christ-like friend, a wise friend. Then we're going to see that bond grow and that relationship grow. Obviously, you've got to spend time with a person to befriend them, don't you? But God's wisdom in relationships often involves us understanding boundaries. And that relationships, friendships have stages they go through, and we certainly spend time with them, but if we're constantly pushing and around them, we don't understand personal space. It can be too early at that stage in the game. We've got to be careful. We've got to ask the Lord to help us to see why we're doing that. Is the gospel of grace and God's love changing us to become the type of friend that God wants us to be, that can show love, Christ-like love and wisdom to them? The only thing that ultimately changes us in that, in all of this, is of course Jesus Christ living in us. It's knowing His great love for us that no matter how many times we come to Him with our struggles, with our frustrations and our sins, if we're in Jesus, He never turns us away. He's that kind of friend. He welcomes us, and one day in heaven He'll welcome us eternally because He did what needed to be done on the cross. And the more we experience His amazing love and come to Him, the more we're transformed into the type of friend who's patient and kind and looking out to the needs of those around us and where they are. That's what we want God to do in our lives. Remember, the goal is that we become, through these godly friendships, those that can offer the love of Jesus Christ and then tell people about the reason we are why we are and share the gospel. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But you know the other part, right? He says, and he who wins souls is wise. We want to be used by the Lord for that, don't we, in relationships? I always like the story of this movie of this Arctic research team that where this member of the team betrayed all the others apparently on it. And nearly gets them killed. But the report is given back by radio to headquarters. And the man who's speaking, not the one who betrayed the people, but another man, he's telling the story as if the offender were the hero. And all the other members listening on the other side, they're saying, oh, way to go, way to go. The point this person made is when Christ calls in the report of our lives, He doesn't mention our betrayals against Him. Because He absorbed it all on the cross. He's the ultimate friend. What He says about us is based on what He did, what He gave for us. And as He transforms us and helps us to know that amazing love, and that love shines through us, that's how we win people for Christ. Proverbs 25:21-22, it's quoted in Romans 12. You know this probably. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you'll heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. As the love of God in Jesus Christ changes us, as we know that amazing grace towards us, that's the power that changes us to be able to reach out to people and be used by God so that enemies can be transformed into friends by God's grace. It's only that amazing love. So the first commitment is commitment to grow in Christ as a godly friend. And the second commitment is to show God's love in Jesus Christ to a few key people. We know we have those key people we want to grow in friendship with. How do we show them Christ's love? I love this quote. It said, he should be radical. He should love you when you're unlovable, hug you when you're unhuggable, and bear with you when you're unbearable. A friend ought to be fanatical. He should cheer you when the whole world boos, dance with you when you get the good news, and cry when you cry too. But most of all, the friend should be mathematical. He should multiply the joy, divide the sorrow, subtract the pain, add to tomorrow, calculate the need deep in your heart, and always be bigger than the sum of all their parts. Well, of course, we can't be that kind of friend on our own in any way, can we? But as Jesus works through us, he uses us. I love Proverbs 25:20. And men, don't do this first part when your wife is, cold. Don't take the blanket off. It says, like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. What does that mean? Somebody said, one friend's happiness can aggravate, irritate another friend's troubled heart even more. It's talking about sensitivity, isn't it? Of course. And tact. And timing, like we've already seen in Proverbs. But sometimes I think we don't know what to say sometimes when people are going through trials and heartache, and our response is insensitivity. We just say what comes to our mind. It's like we sing songs of joy to a person who's in hard times. And it's like vinegar on soda, like taking away the blanket from your wife when she's cold at night. It's not smart. When a person has a heavy heart, it'll take time, and what they need more than anything else, perhaps at that time, is a friend who, and wisdom is sensitive, comes alongside of them, trying to understand them, show them love, be there for them, not trying to remind them of how they're not what they need to be at that point. You know, maybe we need to remember that too now in a Christmas season, where a lot of times there are even Christians who are really hurting. At this time of the year, can be any time of the year, but maybe what they need most in their time of struggle is that we're just coming alongside of them, showing them Christ's love. Yes, if there's opportunity to talk about things to that Christian and encourage them, we should do that. But the thing that changes us to be that kind of friend, more and more sensitive, is experiencing Jesus Christ's sensitivity towards us. Hebrews 4 tells us the Christmas message, he came in human flesh and became like us without sin. He understands. He empathizes with us. He knows what we go through. He feels our pain. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. That's what in the gospel changes us to be those sensitive, loving friends that show wisdom and show love to those that are around us. And sometimes, folks, it's just knowing, isn't it? That somebody knows what you're going through. They've invested time in you. And they care about you. They're listening. That's what helps you get through. Sometimes it's just knowing you're not alone. That Christ is with you, but that God's working through a Christian who is there with you in those times. Phil Ryken said, if we're all alone, we might go down and stay down, but we're not alone. That brother or sister in Christ can come there to lift us up with words of encouragement and remind us what we may have forgotten, that the love and mercy of God will never change. And that will help us rise up in whatever we're going through. We are meant to be those friends to those that are around us. When relationships get broken and financial problems arise, when people feel desperate, they need to know that there's a Christian there. As Galatians says, we're to bear each other's burden, right? And in that, fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes, wouldn't you agree, it's the hardest times that expose the truest friendships. Rock bottom, somebody said, always reveals who's real. So know who your circle of friends are. Know who you can go to and turn to. And we're only going to be able to do that if we're close to people, right? As we invest, as we said earlier, and we get to know them and they know us and they know what we're facing. The point is, if those relationships and Christian community aren't being built and cultivated and growing is then when people's problems and struggles are there, they can go unnoticed. And sometimes it's too late. Proverbs 26 says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" A friend, somebody said, is someone who's there when the good times aren't. A friend is someone who always gets in your way when you are on your way down. A true friend knows who you really are and doesn't walk away. Real friends, I love this one, are those people who, when you make a fool of yourself, don't think you've done a permanent job. We need to be that kind of friend, and we need those kind of friends. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats the matter separates friends." See, we can get so focused sometimes, can't we, on what other people aren't doing for us. That's our nature, isn't it? Well, they didn't invite me to that, or they left me out, or they forgot this, or they didn't remember this. And Proverbs gives us dank warning and wisdom that nothing can destroy friendship faster than oversensitivity, especially when, you know, the friendship's kind of new, and even when it's older. But Solomon says a true friend loves at all times, stands by their friend, by that person, even when it's hard, even when there's cost. See, God in Christ, he doesn't keep embarrassing us with our failures, does he? Why? Because he wants friendship with us. This is why he came in this world and entered humanity, and Jesus lived perfectly and went to the cross and shed his blood so that our sins would be covered and paid for, so that we would know his love, we would be his friends in Jesus Christ, and we would grow stronger in that relationship. Well, see, God wants that kind of love that comes on the vertical level from him to us by grace to flow out from us to other friends on the horizontal level. We learn to become, as Christ changes us, those kind of friends more and more. He alone can do it through us. We can't do it on our own, but he's doing this in the lives of Christians that are growing in grace and wisdom. This is what changes us. Remember when Peter said he would never deny Jesus? And then he did it, of course, and there Jesus stood looking into his face, and right when I believe Peter, in a sense, saw, I believe you can almost see that Peter saw his true self-centeredness when he realized how Jesus saw his failure, and that Jesus still loved him, and that Jesus had come to save him. This is what changes us. The more we know that grace, you see, as we get closer with people, that's when the opportunity for offense gets stronger, doesn't it? And we need to remember that. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." That's how, by hearty counsel. Now, if you've got friends and you really are invested in them, hopefully you realize that, look, God's brought us together in this, and there's a sweetness in this. I've chosen them, they've chosen me. I see what God is doing in their lives, they see that in me, and so I want to listen to their counsel. I don't want to fail to find sweetness in their lives because I don't want to hear a rebuke. Now, we all can be like that, can't we, at times? But the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight in hearty counsel. We all have to ask God to give us grace in that, don't we? And remember that. We want to show love. But there's something that God does through godly friendships that encourages us and challenges us. I want us to think about this. If you've got strong Christian friendships, think about how God brought that about. How did God orchestrate it? And the fact that there's this bond there and that this friend is there and God has given you and worked in your life, and he's been there, she's been there thick and thin through different things, and then God still allows him to love you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's the power of the gospel transforming us. We need to rejoice in that and be grateful for that. And hopefully that's happening in our Christian lives and our relationships. This is what God wants to do in His church, building relationships based on the power of the gospel that flows from Him to us and through us to each other in Christ-like, sacrificial, and loving ways. Proverbs 27:17, I know you know this one well. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We are brought together in relationships to sharpen one another. We need to remember that. That's the value of close friendships. And we need to ask God to help us value those relationships. And we know that we're not going to mature and become all that God wants us to be without the challenge, without the encouragement, without the stimulation that comes when we're together and we sharpen one another. We get dull on our own, don't we? We get rough around the edges. But God uses the heavenly sandpaper, that's the way I like to think about it, of godly, loving friendships to shape in us and sharpen us. As Hebrews 10:25 says, we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Sometimes we can tend to avoid this in Christians, can't we? We get maybe sometimes uncomfortable about around certain people, but Solomon says, be careful that you don't avoid godly Christians that can really sharpen us. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of the friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend who is willing to be honest with you, to keep you from making a big mistake. Someone willing to be honest with you and challenge you and help you. They've built trust there, and you trust them and you listen to them. When you've got a godly, loyal friend like that, that's one of the greatest benefits that can come in friendship. And we're meant to be that way to others as well. True friends help us see our weak spots. They'll help us see when we said something wrong or did something wrong or should have done what we needed to do. And we need to remember that. When you've got two individual Christians God brings together with similar likes in Christ who genuinely love each other and are honest with each other, it's like those two pieces of similar material, the iron, rubbing together. Iron sharpens iron. And this is what God wants to do in gospel-centered, wise relationships, transform our lives more and more. And that leads me to the third thing here as we close. Committed to grow in Christ, committed to show true love, and committed to know God and the gospel through Christ. Friendship, of course, with God in Christ is the essential friendship, isn't it? It changes and impacts everything else, and we can't miss that. The willingness to serve and forgive and be honest and correct each other and receive correction, that flows out of the gospel, of course, and Christ changing us as we walk in friendship with Him. People will let us down, of course, even the best of human friends and Christian friends. But the Bible, of course, is clear to us that the friend that will never let us down is Jesus Christ. He laid down His life for you. He'll never let you go. You can have a lot of people that might let you down in this life, but this is the one friend, Jesus, who will stick closer to you in the perfect way, stick closer than a brother. I love the story of these two men who grew up as best friends, and Jim was just a little bit older than Phil and often assumed the role of a leader, and they did everything together as friends, as childhood friends. They even went to high school and uni together, and after uni they decided to join the Marines in America. And by a unique set of circumstances, they were sent to Germany. And they fought side by side in one of the ugliest of the times of the war. And one sweltering day, it said, during a fierce battle amid heavy gunfire and bombing, they were given the command to retreat. And as the men were running back, Jim noticed that Phil had not returned with the others. Panic gripped his heart. Jim knew that if Phil was not back in a few minutes, he probably wouldn't make it. And Jim was begging his commanding officer to let him go after his friend, but the officer would not let him do it. He said it was suicide, but Jim disobeyed, it said in the story, and he went after his friend Phil. With his heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire, calling out for Phil. A short time later, he came back. His platoon saw him hobbling across the field, carrying a limp body in his arms. And Jim's commanding officer was shouting and saying it was a waste of time, a risk. He said, your friend is dead, and he was. He said there was nothing you could do. But Jim looked at him and said, "No, sir," he said. "I got there just in time before he died. His last words were, 'I knew you would come. I knew you would come.'" Jesus Christ is the ultimate friend that laid down his life in the ultimate sacrifice to set us free. The one who is risen. The one who calls us not servants, but his friends if we're in him. And we need to lean upon him and learn from him and grow in him. That's rock solid friendship. And that transforms all of our other friendships and all of our other relationships. Jesus said in John 15, "This is my command, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. And no longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That's the ultimate friendship, is in Jesus Christ. That is what transforms our lives to be the kind of friends in growing wisdom that God has called us to be. So let's turn to him now and ask for his grace to grow in our relationships, to reach out with the gospel of Christ, and to serve him faithfully. Let's turn to him now in prayer.